Well, we've got someone looks like who's called in. Would you like to take a question from a caller?
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Lynn Kowick.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Fine.
Well, I just started listening to you guys. I think you're really great. I wanted to read my favorite Bible verse, if that was okay.
Okay.
All right. It's Timothy 2:11-15. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not then deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became the sinner. But woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
Well, Dr. Kowick, we were going to be discussing these verses later on, but looks like it's come up right now. What do you think about this passage?
So, real quick, I wasn't trying to be, disrespectful or condescending. I wanted to know what you thought of these passages, too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so tongue-in-cheek, I would say that, fortunately, because I have two children, I am safe. That's supposed to be my attempt at a joke. But it is, in fact, if we start in verse 15, which I will get back up there, but woman will be saved, sozo, so the verb salvation that Paul uses elsewhere, we normally understand to be saved. If she has children. Of course, we know that that particular way of understanding the verse is silly, but it does, I think, alert us to the where Paul goes at the end here. And what he says at the end...
it's pretty terrible.
How do you mean?
It's degrading towards women.
Yes, I think... Well, yes, depending on how it's been interpreted, I think you're absolutely right. It has been used as a bludgeon. And I think that...
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's how it was interpreted. I mean, I've read the Bible many times. I went to Catholic school my entire life. I've read this many different translations and versions before. And I guess I'm wondering, why would you worship a book that treats people this way?
Yes, well, I worship God, not the book. The book is our way of trying to understand who this, or as we read the book, try to interpret who this God is. But your point still stands, and that is God's character is reflected in the Bible, and in this particular verse, there are others, but this particular verse seems to fly in the face of what we think of as a loving God, and so what do we do with it? Well, I would say a couple of things. Unfortunately, the English translations, all of them struggle with how to interpret some of the words that are there and also capture the tense meanings or the ways that the verbs can be understood. Secondly, they tend not to appreciate that this is a letter and thus has a particular focus addressing a particular situation, which, since it's the Word of God, also applies to us. But we have to first understand what that original situation in Ephesus is, as Paul writes to Timothy. And then finally, that what would be the wider, not just within the Christian community, but what's going on in the wider community in Ephesus, which you're probably aware, that's where the Temple to Diana is, one of the largest temples, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And her worship certainly would have impacted just the city itself, and then by extension, Christians would be differentiating themselves from that worship. So when I look at things, for example, I would start in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy and note that some of the men are teaching things that are endless genealogies, for example, is one of the phrases used. And most likely that means that there are some people in Ephesus who are exploring ideas, probably syncretistic ideas that later become full-blown Gnostic heresies that we have in the early second century. And those writings that we do have preserved, recently discovered and also preserved in the Church Fathers, those writings stress that Eve was not deceived, but rather was the heroine of the story. And they teach some other things. But to me, when you realize that there are ideas floating around at this time that would say that Eve was not deceived and that she didn't sin, but rather she revealed or exposed the Creator God as a secondary kind of God, well, then I think anybody who's teaching that should not teach. And if somehow that's what's going on, saying that Eve was not deceived, well, then it is correct for Paul or anyone to ask that person to stop teaching that. And Paul says that, I think, to the men at the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, where those men who stylize themselves as teachers but go off about endless genealogies, that's also most likely this sort of proto-Gnostic ideas floating around. So I would say in that case, what Paul says about women, he also says about men. If you're teaching something wrong, you need to stop. Secondly, in that passage that you read, Paul starts by saying, let a woman learn. And that's the command. It sounds like it's a suggestion in the English, but in the Greek, it's a command. And what Paul is getting at, I think, is that within the ancient world, the synagogue was a place where women could learn. Women and men sat and heard the word of God and participated in festivals and all of that stuff together, and so they learned the Bible. But the Gentiles didn't have anything like the synagogue, and they didn't have any real education system that would be set up for women to learn the Bible. And so I think what Paul is saying to Timothy is, you have got to correct that mistake. Women have to learn. He goes on, I am not permitting a woman to teach. When you look at that, I am not permitting, I think that verb occurs about 17 times, roughly, in the New Testament. And it's almost always used in response to a previous question. And the person is asking, should we do this or not? And so it's a verb that is generally very contingent on the specifics of the question. So, for example, when my kids were little and they would ask me, hey, Mom, can I have a cookie? I might say to them, I'm not permitting you to have a cookie. Why? Because it's 4 in the afternoon and you're ruining your supper, right? But I might say, oh, sure, I am permitting you to have a cookie. If it was 7 o'clock at night, they're getting ready for bed, they had a good dinner, okay, it's a nice treat. So, you see, the I am permitting is something that once the condition is realized, then it's fine. You can go ahead and do it. I don't permit something if the conditions aren't right. But once those conditions are met, then I will permit it. And so I think that I am not permitting a woman to teach is Paul saying, I think that they are teaching the wrong thing. So to correct that, we've got to make them learn. You've got to create a situation where, Timothy, where they can learn. I'm not permitting a woman to teach. And then you go to, or have authority over men. Now that word, have authority over, as how it's translated, is a word that we don't find anywhere else in the New Testament. And we only find it maybe a handful of times prior to the second century. It's a word that when it's used like a couple of times in Josephus, it's extremely negative. It's in the context of like a murder or something. I mean, it's the kind of, I take advantage of my authority to destroy. So it's not the neutral have authority over or authority, that term that you find exousia everywhere in the New Testament. This is a unique term, and it is a very negative term. If the women are teaching, like some of the men are, these Gnostic or these proto-Gnostic ideas about this creator God who's not the true God and the Genesis story that's not really a story about a fall but about actually seeing truth, you know, just upside-down stuff. If that's what's happening, then and they're promoting Eve as this revealer of truth, then they really are promoting an idea where there's negative authority that's being promoted against men. And so it makes sense to me that Paul would want that to be stopped. Though, so he goes on to say, Adam was formed first and then Eve, and Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. And to me, that is a direct challenge to the false teachings that are circulating there among men and women in the church in Ephesus. But to fix the problem for women, they have to learn. In chapter one, to fix the problem with the men, they have to stop teaching, and they'll also learn, but there's a natural mechanism for them to learn. So when then you get to verse 15 and you have she will be saved through childbearing, it may be, and this is such a, it's a hard verse to understand, but I'm most persuaded by the understanding that Paul begins here to think about virtues. And in the ancient world, both Jews and Gentiles could talk about birthing virtues, whether it was a man or a woman. You could talk about developing and growing in your virtues and use the birth analogy to do that, which works beautifully, I think, for Paul here in chapter 2. So I think what he is saying is currently, right now, Timothy, you've got a problem on your hands. There are women who are teaching false ideas. So you have to teach them true ideas. When they have birthed the virtues that come from knowing the true gospel, faith and love and holiness, to me then the restriction is lifted and they'll be able to teach again.
Well, our caller actually dropped, but I wasn't about to stop you because you were on a roll, you were doing great, and I'm guessing that that's probably not the first time you've heard that objection before.
Oh, yes, and I appreciate the complexity of this text, and I realize there are many who will disagree with me on the various points of exegesis and the way that, that this verse is lived out. And what I hope for is that we would continue to be able to have a good dialogue, valuing each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, both trying to develop our Christian virtues. And maybe, you know, for me, I'm the person that gives somebody else the practice of patience. I don't know, long-suffering. But anyway, I think, yeah, it's a very tough verse. I would say that for myself, it's not the place that I start in trying to understand how the Bible or how the New Testament looks at women, because it is such a difficult passage, just in and of itself, a difficult passage to know exactly what Paul is saying here. So I'd rather go to those passages that are more clear and start with them and then come back to this passage that is a bit unclear.